The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
In this week's parsha, Parashat Korach, we learn of the machloket, the controversy between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron. That Korach wanted to be the high priest instead of Aaron, and this was a great transgression against the fact that Hashem had appointed Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron to be both the two leaders of the generation, the two brothers. We're taught in Kabbalah that in every generation there is the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moses of the generation, also the Korach of the generation. Korach was a very great individual that had a very high soul. But just because he had a high soul, he thought that he was supposed to be the one in place of Moshe and in place of Aaron. That was a great mistake. So we're taught that in that generation, that the Korach of the generation will concede and acknowledge the true leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the generation of Mashiach. So this is actually a story that has eternal implications. In every single generation, we have this conflict and controversy between Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach. So after the first phase of the story has been completed, that actually Korach and all of his followers were swallowed up by the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them alive. So still there was a problem amongst the Jewish people to totally acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch has chosen Aaron to be the high priest. And then there is an incident, we will now meditate upon a little bit in depth, that in order to prove to the people that Hashem has chosen Aaron forever and ever to be the high priest of the people, so Hashem told Moshe to instruct the princes of each of the tribes of Israel that each one should bring their staff and place all of the staffs in the Holy of Holies of the temple, and whosoever staff will blossom and give flower and then ultimately give fruit, that will be the indication, the sign from heaven that HaKadosh Baruch has chosen that leader, that prince of that particular tribe. So that's exactly what the Torah recounts here, what happened. And each of the princes of the tribes brought their staff, and the staff of Aaron was the staff of the tribe of Levi, because all of the priests come from the tribe of Levi. So that was the Mate Levi, is the staff of Levi. And Moshe Rabbeinu actually made a point of placing that staff in the middle amongst all of them, in order that at the end, when this is the staff that bears fruit, no one would be able to say that maybe it's because it was tending to one side, that particular side was a side which is compatible to receive and manifest this miracle. So he placed it in what appeared to be the most neutral of positions. And at the end, the next morning, when everyone waked up and came to the temple, and they saw that the staff of Aaron, which was the staff of Levi, Mata Levi, with Aaron's name inscribed, actually as Hashem had said previously that each one of the princes inscribed their name on their staff. So the name was actually written on the staff. And at the end, the staff of Levi with the name of Aaron inscribed upon it, there are three stages that the Torah depicts. And this is the meditation of this week for us, that you have a staff. A staff is obviously a barren piece of wood that naturally cannot grow and cannot blossom, cannot give fruit whatsoever. But this great miracle was that the staff of Aaron in the middle of all the other staffs of the princes. So it says three stages. At first that it blossomed, it flowered, and then seeds means that it budded, the buds of the fruit appeared. And then at the end, and all of this took place almost simultaneously, one after the other, the end, that it bare the fruit. The fruit were almonds, almond nuts, which is actually the fruit that that grows the fastest. But here it was miraculously fast, because in general it even says in a live almond tree it takes 21 days for the almond to develop and grow. But here was all just in one night, also from a barren staff that that Alpiteva, in accordance with nature, cannot grow and blossom and bear fruit at all. So this is the story. So in our meditation, in our mind's eye, and in our heart's eye, we should try not to identify with this, to see the staff in front of us. The staff is a sign of leadership, it's a sign of appointment, and God is now miraculously giving a sign of who He has chosen. Who is my chosen one to be appointed? And the sign is that the staff that symbolizes the power, the powerfulness of the leader himself, that he is leading his people with the staff, it shows, it reflects this divine beauty, we'll call it, of flowering and budding and then giving fruit. Now the word even for this particular fruit, the almond word, shaked, is a permutation of the word kodesh, which means holy. It means actually the fruit here is the holiest of fruits. It represents that he's giving birth and manifesting in the world the holiness of the almonds. And so first let's meditate in particular. There are actually four stages here that we're going to see correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name. At first, we're just the etzem, the essence of the object here at hand is the staff, with that which it symbolizes. But the staff by itself is now an inanimate object. And then the three miraculous stages are first a flower. So we see in front of us the staff. The staff represents the yud, which is the essence of Hashem's name. Then comes a flower, which is called a perach, a blossom. And that blossom corresponds to the first hay of Hashem's name. The yud is just the essence of wisdom. The hay is understanding. The yud is the father principle. The first hay is the mother principle. Then comes the budding. The budding means that the children actually... The blossom as it were, as the fruit is now totally in pregnancy. It's not here yet. It hasn't even appeared as a bud. It's just there, spiritually we'll call it, within the beautiful flower that first appears. So the staff is the father. That's why in general a staff represents a fatherhood, or the strength of the father, the authority. In general, staff is a sign of authority. And the authority here is the authority of the father. The blossom is the beauty here of the mother that appears. And from mother down, it's all a miracle. And the fact that the father here has a mother and has a son and has a daughter, that those are the cave of K, that's the proof, as it were, the indication that God has chosen this father, this leader, this source of authority, to be the true source of authority. It is not a barren father image. It's a complete father image with all of the members of the Holy Family, which are the four letters of Hashem's name that correspond to father, mother, son, and daughter. So once more, the son is the first appearance of the bud, Vayatzetz Tzitz. So already the beginning of the fruit in actuality. It's still potential. As we'll explain in the continuation, there are two levels of potential. The flower is also potential, but it's a much higher level than the bud. The bud is a potential which is close to the actualization, to the actual fruit itself. The flower is still far removed. It's called a makif harachok. It's far away from the actualization. But it's a sign, an indication of some deep potential. But then comes the immediate potential. The immediate potential is the bud. And then and that corresponds to the Vav of Hashem's name. And then ultimately, finally, is the tachlis, the purpose of the goal and end of the process is to give bear the fruit itself, which is the shkedim, the almonds. That here is the daughter level, which is mahut, kingdom, the final hay of Hashem's name. So the buds are the vav of Hashem's name, and the fruit at the end is the final hay of Hashem's name. So now if we go back to the beginning, the mate itself, that the staff that Aaron inscribed his name upon is called Mate Levi. Mate Levi is the staff of Levi. If we calculate those two words, a very simple numerical calculation, so Mate, the word Mate, Mem Tet He equals 54, and Levi, Lamed Vav Yud equals 46. 54 and 46 add up to be exactly 100. Meaning that there's some shlimut, some perfection or consummation in the very essence, the etzem, the called the bone or the being of this particular staff. That the staff is perfect in and of itself. Mate Levi. Now even in this simple phrase of two words, Mate Levi, so the initial letters, which are always the essential components of the word, Mem Lamed, equals 70. 40 and 30 is 70. And the other letters, the middle and end letters together, equal 30. So actually the 100 here is divided into 70, first 70 and then 30. That in itself spells another word, a very simple word, Al. Al means on or above. It comes from the word Alu, which means to ascend, to rise up. Actually, there's something very, very unique about the word Al, that Al is the 13th word in the Torah. 13 is just like the number 7, the other number, the companion number of 7, which is the most important number is in the Torah, is 13, like the 13, like with regard to the 13 principles of divine mercy. The word Echad, one itself, equals 13 in Gematria, as does the word Ahava, love. The 13th word in the Torah is Al, Bechoshech Al Peneto. So, once more, the word Al means above, so there's something about this particular staff, the staff of Levi, that it's Al, that even though it was positioned, placed in the middle of all the staffs, as we said before, Rashi explains that it was in order to neutralize it in a certain way. Nonetheless, in essence, it is above, just like the tribe of Levi is above all of the other tribes, as will be now shown by the divine sign. So this staff is Al, is the Mala, is above all the other staffs, and more so, this is the staff that elevates all of the other staffs. There's something about Mata Levi, that's the function of the high priest, is to rise up, like it says that when Aaron, one of his most important functions in the temple is to light the candles, Ach shetehe shalhevet ola me'ila, that the flames, the fires of every soul should rise up by themselves. That's the task that only Aaron can perform. So there's something intrinsic and essential about Mata Levi, that it is the source of elevation and rising up. And it's not just for itself, for its own sake, but for the sake of all of the Jewish people, as represented by all the other staffs, of all of the other leaders of the individual tribes. Now, if we'll just continue to make another simple calculation about this phrase, Mate Levi. So when the two words Mate Levi are spelled out, this is called Milui in Kabbalah, they're spelled out in full, so it equals Torah exactly. The word Torah, which is 611, just as a simple calculation, equals 100 exactly. 100 is like the 100 blessings that we should say, bless Hashem every day of our lives. But the whole Torah, which equals 611, that's Mate Levi written in full. Another important thing is whose name was inscribed on Mate Levi. It was the name Aharon. Aharon wrote his name Aharon on the staff. And because he wrote Aharon on the staff, that was what produced in the end the miracle of the three stages to come, of the blossoms and the buds and the fruit. Aharon, his name is 256, which is 16 squared, meaning that the staff in and of itself is 10 squared, equals 100, and Aharon's name equals 16 squared. So that's exactly the division, the roots of these two squares is exactly the division of Hashem's name as we're now describing it. That the 10 squared is the Yud of the first letter of Hashem's name is Yud, which equals 10. But the other three letters, those are the three miraculous stages that happen after you have the Yud, is actually come out of him inscribing and engraving his name on the staff, carving his name, the letters of his name into the staff. That's adding the 16 squared. 16 are the other three letters of Hashem's name. Hey and Vav and Hey. So just in the Gematria here, the whole process is alluded to in the most beautiful fashion. Now, to conclude, we'll just go back to the essence of the meditation itself. We said that there are two levels of potential. There's one potential, that the potential of the child in the mother before the bud of the child has even appeared. And that's the secret of the flower. The flower, the word flower, as used here in this context, perach, is also a very special word in the Torah, because it, in Kabbalah, it equals 288, which is the number of sparks, of divine sparks present in the world. And they're all here and present, but they're all still potential vis-a-vis the end purpose of them to be revealed as divine holy fruit. And all of them have to rise up into the womb of the mother in order to be reborn as fruit, as new fruit into reality, as explained in depth and throughout Kabbalah. Now, this level of this level of potential is called Yecholet in the terminology of Kabbalah and Chassidus. It's not yet called actual potential, which is Koach. It's called Yecholet. Yecholet means ability. When something is able, it's able to be, and it's also able not to be. It's not that the potential is a necessary sign that from the potential is going to derive an actual manifestation. It's just an indication that it's possible, like to say that when you see the flower, so you already know that there can now be a great miracle, that this inanimate staff, which according to nature should be totally barren, is already the miracle has begun. But in reference to the fruit itself that's going to be born, this is just the theoretic, we'll call it, ability for that fruit to be born. That's the perach, that's the first stage. That's the mother stage with relation to the children. The two children are already two stages of the birth process itself. Once more, the stage of the budding, which is called Yatzet Tzitz, is the koach. It's called something is potential. Potential which is close, approximate, and about to become actualized. And then the actualization is called the Shaked Shkedim. So we have here four stages, which are called Etzem or Atzmut. These are the terms for them. And then Yecholet. Atzmut is the essence of the staff. And then Yecholet is ability. That's the flower. Then Koach is potential. That's the tzitz, the bud, and poal is actuality, which is the shkedim, the omens. If we'll just think for a moment of the three words for the flower and the bud and the shkedim, they are perach, tzitz, and shkedim. The final letters of these three words, when written backwards, spell the word Metzach. Metzach is the forehead. But very beautifully, we know in another context that one of the special clothings that Aaron the high priest was to wear, that this is what actually made him, by his clothing, he became the high priest, meaning that he was able to perform the service of the high priest and to affect all of the spiritual meanings of the high priest, and to arouse divine mercy on the Jewish people, to raise up the Jewish souls, as we mentioned before. So what was on his forehead? He had a special thing on his forehead. It was also called tzitz. It's the very same word that means, in our context, it's the budding, the middle stage, which is the stage of the potential. So that tzitz also was called tzitz nezer hakodesh. Tzitz means to look also. It was a tzitz, just like you see this bud. It's a visible image. As we said before, the potentiality has become actually visible in the bud. And that tzitz of the holy crown, we said that the word holy is the permutation word shaked. So on his forehead they had a tzitz nezer hakodesh, that's the idiom in the Torah. He had the budding of a crown of almonds on his forehead. So the bud and the almond, which is the kodesh, those are the son and the daughter that are in the forehead, or on the forehead, here they're represented on the forehead of the essence of the Father. Meaning that the staff, in a certain way, with his name engraved on the staff, is in another context, is he himself, is Aaron himself. And he has all of his, you can say that all of the clothings in a certain way are like flowers. He's full of flowers. But on his forehead, which is the final letters of the three stages of Perach and Tzitz and Shkedim, on his forehead he has especially a Tzitz Nezer HaKodesh, which is the bud and the holy fruit of the almonds that he bears. You know that the true potency of the high priest in the temple to bless the people is to bless the people with Turavu, with be fruitful and multiply. So that's also all alluded to here in this symbol of meditation of the Mateh Levi with the name Aaron and the four stages from Atzmut to Yecholet to Koach to Poal.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org, www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org, www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.